Morning, Capital. How are you? Good to see you. It's good to be here. Happy New Year. Yeah, January 3rd. This is a fun time of year to review, right? What happened last year in 2015. In fact, we had a bunch of people over on New Year's Day, and that's one of the things we asked, what were the highlights of 2015? So I thought it would be appropriate as a group to kind of quickly just look at some of the top news items of 2015 as we launch into 2016. So you can look along here on the screen along with me. Think about last year. You know, one of the things that dominated our news headlines was ISIS, right? It seemed like it was, you know, every week we had something new about ISIS. And then, of course, we had the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage last year. We had the two terrorist attacks in Paris. A year ago this month, there was the first terrorist attack, the Charlie Hebdo attack, most people remember. And then just this past November, there was another attack. So Paris has had a very difficult 2015, as we remember in all the pictures and scenes, and maybe some of you have even been to Paris recently and know the impact it's had. And then in our own country, we've had all these random mass shootings, right, that just continue to confound and confuse and bring fear and confusion to all of us. Like, what is this country becoming? Because there seems to be these random mass shootings that continue to increase. And then we've got the Black Lives Matter movement and the debate raging over police use of force. That's something that constantly is on our Twitter feed, our Instagram accounts, and our Facebook pages, all these different articles that people are linking and taking pictures and videos of different things. And then we have the U.S. election campaigns from Hillary and Bernie on the one side, the Democratic side, and then the many candidates on the Republican side. And just a warning, it's going to continue and get worse. 2016, they haven't been elected yet. No one's been elected, so it's going to continue on in 2016. And then switching back to world issues, the migrant and the refugee crisis, it's just been unbelievable, hasn't it? And the pictures we've seen and the masses of people coming over, fleeing often from Syria, Iraq, other war-torn countries, coming to Europe, coming to America, looking for a safer place to live. So that's been something that's dominated the airwaves and the headlines in this last year. Now, as we switch to sports, last year, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. And so if you liked Satan's team, you can root for the Patriots, but, God's team is the Broncos. You know that, but just in case you were wondering, so hopefully Satan's team doesn't win again this year, but we'll see. So it was football, then a basketball, the Golden State Warriors, kind of a fun surprise, led by Stephen Curry, an amazing guy and a great athlete, led Golden State to their first NBA championship. And then the Kansas City Royals. If you're into baseball, they won the World Series. It's funny, I've had a lot of boos the last couple of services, so I don't know if Kansas City is not well-loved out here in Utah. And then Kelly Johnson reminded me, if you're into soccer, Major League Soccer, Portland Timbers won the MLS championship this year. We don't have a picture for that one, but good reminder. Thank you, Kelly. And now on to Hollywood. I don't know if you saw this movie, but Birdman won the Best Picture, if you remember that, in 2015. And then moving on from the world of Hollywood, Beck won the Best Album of the Year award. You may not even have realized that, but he did, the Best Album of the Year. And then Sam Smith came home with all kinds of Grammys, winning the Best New Artist of the Year and the Song of the Year with Stay With Me. So if you're a Sam Smith fan, you loved it this past 2015. Okay, now, here's some news in case you didn't know in 2015. First is this. Did you know that coloring books for adults are huge? It's like all the rage. How many people knew that? I have no idea where I've been. I've been under a rock, I guess, living. I had no idea. My kids have all kinds of coloring books. I'm going to start taking from them and using them. I don't know if it works or not, but Amazon cannot keep them on the shelves. And then here's the benefit. If you're into coloring books for adults, doctors and psychologists are praising coloring books for their ability to bring calm and relaxation as well as increased focus to those who color. So it's not only fun, there's actually some benefits to it. So coloring books. Hey, by the way, Margaret Feinberg, our own Margaret Feinberg, she's got an adult coloring book or several in our bookstore. Check it out. It's actually one of the best sellers right now. So you can get one today if you'd like. And if you're like, I didn't know that was a craze. Yes, that you're now one of the masses who color in adult coloring books for the right reasons. All right, then here's the other one. Don't look now, but Justin Bieber is climbing back up the charts. And I know that's terrifying for most of us in this room, unless you're a girl ages 9 to 12. Then you love this. This is awesome. Bieber fever is back, full on, tattoos and all. Justin Bieber is back. And then if you missed this, Vladimir Putin, if you missed it a couple of years ago when he had that shirt or a picture with no shirt on, well, you can get another picture of him with no shirt on. He's got a calendar out in 2016. So I know you. I just spoiled your breakfast or lunch, but I have no idea why he does this, but he has another picture and a calendar and everything. That's awesome. In case you didn't know. Now, one last thing is that did you know that in 2015, you can now buy cow patties online? Cow patties are all the rage in India mostly. Now, they've always been the rage in the rural villages for obvious reasons, but now retailers like Amazon and eBay now have them online. So you can buy cow patties here and get them in your backyard or whatever you want to do with them. You can buy cow patties online. It's all the rage in certain parts of the country. Anyway, so those are news that maybe you never wanted to know, but now you do. What a year, 2015. Okay, so now it is January 1st, right? January 1st of 2016. January 1st is pregnant with endless possibilities, right? It's a fresh new year. It's a clean slate. You can do all kinds of things on January 1st. It's the day we start writing our New Year's resolutions. So I've got to ask, how many people have written their New Year's resolutions? We got a few. Oh, good. Thank you, type A people. The rest of us are slackers. Get in gear. Come on. No. Well, here's the thing. So if you have or if you haven't, but just think of that. In January 1st, if you went and worked out at the gym, you've worked out every day of the year. I mean, that's amazing. Think about that. You guys are so good. And if you avoided that ice cream for dessert, you've avoided temptation every day of the year so far in 2016. Perhaps you didn't yell at your kids. You didn't get a speeding ticket yet. You were really nice to your in-laws over Christmas. Whatever it was, you have now had a perfect reflection of what you could become on January 1st for one day. And then comes January 2nd, which was yesterday, and January 3rd today, and perhaps you already need a fresh start. How many people have already broken their New Year's resolutions? Yeah, not as many hands, but yes, thanks for your dishonesty. Anyway, but we do, right? We have this fresh start, and then all of a sudden, the wheels fall off, and we need to kind of re-gear, right, of in looking at this new year. All right, so what I'd like to do today is I want to raise the question, how can you and I have a fresh start? Because maybe as you look back over 2015, we just did a kind of the world, the news of, you know, general things, but when you look back, if you kind of did a 2015 review of your life, what pictures would pop up? Maybe you had a really, really tough 2015 and you need a reboot. You need a refresh button on January 1st because 2015 was not very good for you. Or maybe as you think about 2015 and the pictures that come up in your mind, it was a great year. In fact, last night I was talking to some people. They had a great 2015. They can't wait for 2016. Maybe you're there and that's great. I'm hoping that is the case. But either way, this is the time in our culture when it comes around to January 1st, it's our time to refresh, right? And so whether you're doing good or doing bad and really need a restart, this is the time to be thinking about how do we all make a fresh start for 2016. So I'd like to do that. Now, the way I like to do that is I want to make sure we start or begin at the right starting point. Because typically when we start thinking about New Year's resolutions, right, we have this idea that you start writing questions like, what do I want to do this next year, right? What do I want to accomplish? What goals do I want to set? What kind of life do I want to have in 2016? These are great questions. We should be asking them, and you should have goals. But there is a starting point that precedes that I want to talk about. In fact, the Bible reminds us that in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. The Bible reminds us that God is the starting point of life. So if we start our New Year's resolutions, we want a fresh start, we've got to start with God first. In fact, listen to Colossians 1:16. It says this, for in him, meaning Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So if we just kind of get all excited and start with just, what do I want to do? What are my goals? And what do I want to accomplish? All good questions. We've started at the wrong starting point. We need to back up a bit and say, wait a second. God is the center of the universe, not us. And what does he want for us? What does he want for the world? What is God's will for my life? So let's start there, and then we can ask all those other questions. It flows out of starting with God. And so to do that now, what I'd like to do is we're going to camp out today in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and my guess is it's very familiar with many of you, but what I like about Hebrews 12 is it kind of gives us an opportunity to have a fresh start, starting from that God-centered starting point. All right, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews 12. Otherwise, you can go to your iPhone and look at your Bible version there, or it's going to be on the screen as well. What I'd like to do is read it, and it's from the NIV version, and then we're going to pull three questions of how you and I can start and make a fresh start today. All right, here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. All right, so here you have this great section of scripture. Now, again, we're jumping into chapter 12. You guys probably know, again, though, that when this was first initially written, the author did not have chapters. So we put chapters in later, but just for sake of organization, chapter 11, so what preceded this section in chapter 12 was this conversation, in fact, this highlighting of all these great men and women of faith. We could call it a hall of fame for those who had faith, who lived a God-directed life, who really employed their faith and applied their faith to their life in such a way like Moses and Abraham and Sarah. And they list all these different great men and women of faith, right? So that was what happened in chapter 11. And so in chapter 12, he uses that linking word therefore to say, okay, now that we've seen the example of all these incredible people of faith, therefore, here's what I want you to do. Now, again, in scripture, it's always important when you see a therefore to ask, why is it therefore, right? That's it helps you remember that. The Greek word is toigarun. Toigarun is the Greek word. And basically, it's a linking word to make sure that whatever was just talked about, the topic it was talked about, connects with the next section. So it's a connecting word, right? So the image I have is, if you go up to Park City, there's this great Olympic Museum. Some of you have probably been there. Every time I go, because I'll end up taking anybody who's new to Park City, I have to take them to the museum. But it's fun, because you remember all these incredible athletic feats. And I've forgotten how wonderful the Olympics were in Salt Lake and in Park City. They were incredible, because I didn't live here at the time. So you're reminded of these great athletic feats and all these gold medals and how they did it. Well, in the same way, in scripture, the author of Hebrews is trying to remind us, don't forget all these great examples of people that have lived before us. Therefore, remembering what their example is, now we're invited to be a part of that, which is pretty incredible if you think about it. The author is not saying, well, these people are all so amazing and you can't even touch them. No, he says, therefore, because they lived, here's how you can live with God's help. You can be part of that circle. And so, when it comes to coming up at a fresh start, he gives this image of a race that we're included in because of who's run before us. Now, let's give a little example of a race. We think about a fresh start, and he gives this analogy of running a race. How many people are runners in here? Okay, it's kind of, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of runners in Salt Lake. There's a lot of runners in Park City. So I'm not a great runner, but I like to run because if I don't run, I get really puffy because of all the things I eat. So I have to run. I literally have to run because that's the only way I get rid of all the calories that I eat. So I remember, though, several years ago, I did a half marathon, and it was a really fun experience. I did a little bit of training, but I at least did enough training where I knew that every mile I had a goal. Right? So I kind of had a time for every mile. And those of you who are runners know this, you guys do it much better than me. But I remember having in my mind, you know, every mile marker, I had these goals, right? So somewhere along the line of mile 6 and 7, something went wrong. I remember running and I was making a good pace. I was hitting my goals. And I remember after mile 6, it took forever, it seemed like, to get to mile marker 7. And I kept running and running, and I'm like, where's mile marker 7? Something must be wrong here. But in my mind, like, I haven't seen it, but I just feel like my body is, you know, getting tired, more and more tired. And then I finally see mile marker 7. Well, then after mile marker 7, then I can't see mile marker 8. It seemed like it took forever to get to mile marker 8. And I'm just starting to shut down a little bit. My time is way off. And then I feel more tired, right? And you start feeling your legs and your shoes. Anyway, long story short, we found out later that the volunteers who marked out the mile markers for this race actually missed it by over 3 miles. Yeah, that was awesome. I'm not bitter. I've never done a half marathon since. But there's a reason, stupid races. No, anyway, I'm not bitter, though. I forgive them, kind of. It was actually, I'm not kidding, it was called the Jesus Run, which I thought was really ironic. Yeah, I almost met Jesus at the end of the race because it's so long. But anyway, so think about it. What I learned, though, in that race was this. the key to running a good race is not so much about strong legs and good shoes, or short shorts, definitely not. But anyway, no, it's not about perseverance of your lungs and your physical ability. It starts with your mind, right? It's in your mind. Really incredible elite athletes are so disciplined in their mind. And they're able to kind of have mind over matter, right, when it comes to pain or, you know, endurance and things like that. And so it's really true in our own lives. When it comes to the race of life, if you will, it starts in our mind. Think about this. A thought in our mind, once it's established long enough, turns into a belief. And a belief held long enough eventually turns into a behavior. So if we're going to have a fresh start today, it starts with our minds. And the question I want you to ask yourself is, what am I focusing on? What is my mind focused on in 2016? In fact, let me ask you another question. When you wake up in the morning, what's the very first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Like, what gets you up in the morning? Is it the alarm clock on your cell phone? Is it a strong cup of coffee like it is for me? Is it the dog with the cold nose? That'll get you up really quickly. Or is it a clear sense of purpose? You wake up, boom, you know what you need to do. Or maybe you wake up and you're stressed with all the things you have to do. You've got all these classes and you think January 3rd and classes start tomorrow. And you are so stressed with all that you know this semester is going to bring. Or maybe you're in your industry, your business, you are really struggling to keep afloat and you're really feeling all this pressure. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, what you feel and experience is stress and pressure. I don't know what it is for you, but I'd ask the question, what wakes you up in the morning? What are you focused on? The first thing when you wake up, what is your mind focused on? That can make all the difference for the rest of your day, right? And that's why the Hebrew author reminds us in verse 2, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. In fact, this is fascinating. The Greek word there gives a fuller meaning of what that word fix is. The Greek word up here on the screen you can see is aphorentes, aphorentes. And this is the idea, is looking away to, or fixing is the English word, but the force of this verb is to turn back towards the goal. So it presupposes you're looking maybe and distracted by other things, and we need to turn back towards the goal. And in this case, it's Jesus. So he's saying, remember all these clouds of witnesses, these people that have lived a God-directed, faith-driven life. And in light of their example and all the things that goes on in life, fix your eyes on Jesus. Turn back towards Jesus. What we focus our minds on is so important. It can make all the difference. In fact, as an illustration, let me talk about traveling. How many people had to travel for the holidays? Yeah, plane or train or automobile. Great movie, by the way, FYI. It's pretty good. This happens if you you got into the airport, right? Airports can be kind of stressful. During the holidays in particular, maybe you guys have experienced this when you traveled over this past holiday. Think about this. When it comes to traveling, the joy and adventure of traveling is not because you have to rush through security and you barely make it to your gate, right? And then once you get to the seat, you realize the seat's not very clean, and then you're breathing recycled air, and you sit next to somebody who really needs two seats, and that's not the joy and adventure of traveling, right? That's not why you do it. And yet sometimes the process of traveling is so challenging and so discouraging and so difficult, we forget the joy and adventure of traveling and why we do it in the first place. Right? The joy and the adventure of traveling is the destination. It's getting there, right? Getting to a new city or a new adventure or the people we're going to see once we land. That's the joy and excitement of travel, right? It's not going through the whole process of the airport security and all that. Well, in the same way, life can kind of get discouraging, right? We can be distracted. There's so many things pulling for our attention. And I've found, you probably experienced it too, over time, life has a way of adding more to your plate, right? And more distractions and more things pulling at you. And I wonder as you look at January 3rd, 2016, the beginning of this year, I wonder if you've lost a little bit of the joy and adventure of your life. Or maybe your job. Maybe you're not really even excited about school anymore. You think about classes and you're just dreading classes. And when you first came into school, you were so excited about all the different things you can study and the major you're going to focus on. I wonder if some of us have lost some of that joy and adventure because we've got caught up in the details and And we're focused more on the things that distract us, not the destination, if you will, of why you went into your job or went into school in the first place. This is particularly true with our faith. I wonder today, even when it comes to your faith, I wonder if it's a little stale. And maybe you've just lost a little bit of that joy and excitement of your relationship with God, even. And you're just kind of going through the motions right now, if you're honest. So how can you get a fresh start? Whether it be your job or school or your faith, how can you and I have a fresh start in our relationship with God in this year? Well, I think it starts again with your mind. What are you focused on? What are you focused on? Here's what's great about this passage that reminds us of so many things. The force of that verb fix, right? We talked about turning away towards the goal. It's in grammar, if you're into grammar. It's an active present participle. Active present participle. What that means is it's not just a one-time thing. It means we have to choose again and again to turn away back towards the goal. Turn away again and back towards the goal. In other words, we can be very ADHD in our faith because we can get distracted by so many different shiny things out there. And we need to constantly choose every day what we're going to focus our mind on. In fact, every hour, every second, we have an opportunity. What are we going to focus and fill our minds with? We have a choice. And the Bible reminds us we need to turn away back towards the goal, and in this case, Christ. Start with Christ. Jesus said these words, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Remember that? Seek first. Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Do you remember how it goes? "And all these things will be given to you as well." It doesn't mean that all the things you ever wanted in your life are going to come true and your life is going to be perfect and it's going to be easy. But it does mean this. When we put God first and we truly seek his righteousness, it seems like those things that used to stress us out or used to distract us or used to consume us begin to lose their power. And yes, I do believe it also means that when we start putting God first in our life, these things begin to prioritize themselves and they kind of take care of themselves. And you'll be surprised when you start putting God first, the things you used to worry about and can be concerned about have taken care of themselves because God's taking care of them. Or you're just not focused on them as much. You're not consumed with them. You're not paranoid about them. So let me ask again, what are you focused on? What fills your mind the most right now? If you and I want to make a fresh start today, on January 3rd, 2016, we ask the question, what are we focused on? That's the first question we asked. Starts in our minds. All right, well, yeah, I told you there's three things in here, so let's go back to Hebrews 12. There's another thing I want to, a second question I want to ask, and it goes with that verse 1. You probably saw some interesting word choices that the author gave, so let's look back at verse 1. Here's what he said. He said, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Okay, so now he's starting to meddle a little bit, isn't he? He's starting to put a little pressure and saying, hey, wait a second, there's going to be things that hinder us and there's going to be sin that easily entangles us in our life, so we need to throw off everything. So another Greek word I want to share with you is agkon. Agkon is the word that is translated hinders. It's also translated weight. It can mean excess weight, but most likely it means any kind of weight that slows someone down or keeps somebody, hinders somebody from moving forward in a race. Staying with that race analogy and running, in fact, you probably know this from your history, Greek runners back, you know, when the precursor to the Olympics, if you will, they did not have, back in that day, high-performance spandex and breathable, quick-dry running clothes. They just didn't have it, right? They had clothes that tended to slow you down. So back in the first century, they would typically run with either no clothes or very, very little clothes. So they would strip off everything that would possibly get in their way, so they could run the fastest race they could. So the early readers of this book, they would understand, oh, they know exactly the analogy he's using here is the one of racing. And when you run a race, you're going to get rid of everything because you want to win. You want to run the best race of your life, right? So there's a lot built into this word. And so I want to ask now, apply it to our lives. The question I think we need to ask if we're going to have a fresh start this year, here's a tough question. But the question is this, what is keeping me from moving forward in my life? What is keeping me? What is keeping you from moving forward in my life? What is keeping you from moving forward in your life? This is a tough question. I mean, it could be fear of some kind. if you're really honest about it. Maybe it's your past. Even 2016, January 3rd, there's something in your past that still holds you back. Maybe it's an addiction of some type that you still have not been able to kick. Maybe it's certain habits. Or maybe it's just the distractions of your cell phone, your text messages, your email. There's all kinds of things that can hinder us and entangle us and keep us from doing what God has called us to do and keep us from running the best race of our life. There's all kinds of things that can keep us from the best version of ourselves. So what is it for you? It's a tough question. But let me give you another illustration. As I think about 2015, one of the highlights for me in 2015, my wife and I were a year late, but we did our 20th anniversary, and we went to Costa Rica. And it was just the two of us. We didn't have kids. So fun. Put that on your bucket list. Costa Rica is beautiful. Got to do it. So we were traveling to Costa Rica, and we did a couple excursions, and we went on this bus that was very, there were no shocks in the back of that bus. I'll just say, put it that way. So we were in the back, and we were sitting next to a couple that had this adorable little baby, probably 16 months old, dark hair, dark eyes, just super cute. And there was this couple right in front of us, and there were a lot of people on the back side of the bus to kind of pass the time as we're going through these bumpy roads in Costa Rica. We just let this baby dominate the discussion. She had all these funny, cute words and whatnot. Well, one particular time, this one guy kept asking the baby, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?" And finally, the baby looks at him and says, "Caca. Caca." I'm not kidding. It was so funny. We kind of looked at, did we just hear that? And then we just busted out laughing, like, caca, that's awesome. A little baby's calling a grown man caca. That was pretty fun. Now, we did find out, the mother explained, they're from Indian descent, and the word in Hindi for caca means uncle. So it was actually a term of endearment, right? But the rest of us, for a few seconds, are just like, she just called him caca. That's awesome. So now here's the interesting thing. Think about this. It's a perspective thing, right? It's one thing. A baby, even if we didn't know the translation that was actually a Hindi word, if it was just the straight up word we'd normally think of, or caca, a little baby could get away with telling everybody on the bus caca because she's so cute and she's 16 months old, right? If I went around and called everybody caca, I'd be in deep caca. I mean, that would be a really bad thing, right? You don't do that. That's not a kind word to say, right? It's all a matter of perspective. So perspective makes a difference. Now, when it comes to having a fresh start and us thinking about the things that hinder us, here's what often happens as human beings. We're just, all of us are wired this way. We tend to minimize our weaknesses for ourselves, and we tend to magnify maybe our strengths. Most of us fall into that category. Not all of us, but most of us. It's also true that when we look to other people, we tend to magnify their weaknesses and minimize their strengths. This happens in marriages all the time. I'll be honest, there's times where I think too often about what my wife Leah is not doing for me or is not quite measuring up, rather than focusing on all the good things that she does as my wife and as the mom of our three kids. It's just a tendency we all do, right? Jesus even talked about that. Remember that story when he talks about the plank in your own eye and the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye? And what does Jesus say? He says, before you look at the speck of sawdust in your friend's eyes, look at the plank in your own eye, right? And so here's my challenge. I know it's going to be a scary challenge, but I want to give you this challenge this year. I think you're up for it. So when this question comes of what is hindering you and me and our lives moving forward, if there's anything hindering ourselves in our life, I want you to do this. I want you to ask two questions. Number one, I want you to ask someone who really is close to you. It could be your spouse. It could be a friend, a roommate. It could be mom and dad. It could be a sister, brother. Someone who really you trust. And I want you to ask them that question. What is there anything in my life that you can see that is hindering my life from moving forward? And once you ask it, just leave the room quietly. Actually, maybe quickly. No, just kidding. This is a scary question if you really take this seriously. I encourage you to do it. Now, you may have to text it to your spouse and let them text back so you're not in front of them while you get the answer. But here's the analogy. So think, if I was this half marathon and I wasn't bitter about that last race, and I went to another half marathon and I actually went to a coach and said, I want you to make me the next ultra runner. Okay, so you got to show me everything I'm doing wrong because I want to be the best runner I possibly can be. So anything I'm doing, whether something I'm dressed with wrong or my gait is wrong or something I've got to prepare for better, tell me everything I need to do to be the best runner so I can have the best time and have the best half marathon experience of my life, right? I'd want that coach to be brutally honest, right? Don't hold back. Just be honest. Tell me what I need to know because I want to be the best. So translate that to your life. If you want to be the best version of yourself, You need people to be honest, right? And if we have a perspective challenge where we tend to not see the weaknesses in ourselves as well, we need other people to point them out. Again, in love, please, in love. So if you're asked this question, please answer in love. Jesus said, speak the truth in love, right? But speak the truth. And there's one other person I want you to ask. I want you to ask God. I want you to ask God and say, God, is there anything in my life right now that is hindering my life from moving forward? Is there anything hindering my relationship with you, God? And open yourself up to that one. Psalm 139, you remember that psalm we looked at not too long ago. The author of that psalm asked the question, God, search me and test me and examine my heart. I mean, that's a scary prayer in many ways, but it's such a good prayer because God, in his ultimate love, will point out those things that you need to work on, but he'll do it in love. And the greatest thing is God says, I'm going to come alongside and help you overcome those things. So what do you think? You up for asking God that one? That's a big question to ask. But I believe if you want to be the best version of yourself, you need to ask other people and you need to ask God. Because I think you do want to be the best version of yourself. So what do you focus on is the first question. The second question is, what is hindering your life currently from moving forward? And it could be any category, all right? And whatever you find out that thing is, go back to Hebrews, and what does it say? Throw it away, right? Strip it off. Take out everything. Just get rid of it. Chuck it is the, you know, nice term. That's that serious term. That's not in Scripture, actually, but that's my actually term. But anyway, get rid of it. Whatever it is, don't let anything slow you down. Don't let anything hinder you from being the best version of yourself and what God wants for you. The stakes are too high, and life is too short. So that's the second question you need to ask. All right, let's go one more question. One more question for this New Year's message about how we can make a fresh start. Let's go back to Hebrews 12:1. So we talked about the cloud of witnesses, right, from chapter 11. We talked about fixing our eyes, turning back towards the goal. And we talked about this idea of, you know, throwing off everything that hinders us. Now, interestingly, grammatically, if you look at this passage as a whole, grammatically, all the grammar points to this one phrase. The focus of this entire passage is on this one phrase called let us run. Let us run is the focus of this entire passage. So, and let us run is how it reads, with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So here's the thing. God has a race for you to run. God has a race for me to run. We all run our own race. My race is differently than your race. Your race is differently than the person sitting next to you. But we all have a race to run. God has created us to run a race. Let us run is the focus of this passage. So how's your race going? How's your run? God has created us to live a life that makes a difference in others. In fact, here's the question I would ask in this way. In fact, Rick Warren asked this question in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I like how he phrased it. He asked the question, what do I want the contribution of my life to be? What do I want the contribution of my life to be? It's a great question. So think about it. January 3rd here, beginning of the new year, what do you want the contribution of your life to be this year? What do you want the contribution of your life to be this year? See, I believe this. If I were to ask you one-on-one, we went and grabbed Starbucks or whatever and talked about your life, I think you would come and I would ask, would you like to make a difference in your life? You want to make your life count? Of course you do. All of us want our life to count. All of us want our life to mean something and to make a difference in someone else's life, even if it's just one person, right? I mean, there's a reason why It's a Wonderful Life shows every Christmas, like for the last 400 years. It's been on TV forever. But why? Because it goes to this very core question of what it means to be a human being. You want your life to count. So what will the contribution of your life be? In fact, you know, I have a 15-year-old daughter, Emma. You know, I've talked about her before. She's a sophomore in high school right now, and she was going through this class where they're preparing her for college, and they're trying to ask the questions of what you want to do with college and what major you want to have and where do you want to go in the future. And then it raised questions of, you know, bigger questions. And so we had one of the things I love to do with my daughters, I regularly take them out for dates with dad, and we usually have breakfast. And so it was just a great time to connect and ask questions and see what's going on in their heart and their mind. And so this question came up, and she was just asking, you know, what is God's will for my life? That big question that we all ask. And it's not just 15-year-olds that ask this. We ask this even when we're 75 years old, right? It's one of these core questions we want to, in a sense, constantly ask ourselves. What is God's will for my life? Is there anything else I need to be doing? Does God want me to move here or move there? So it's a great question, right? So something I'll share with you that I shared with her. In fact, you've probably heard this quote before. It's one of my favorite ones, so I probably shared it before. But it so goes to the core of this question of what is God's will for your life? It's by Frederick Buechner. He's a great writer, a prolific author. And here's this quote. He says, "The place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place where God calls you is a place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Isn't that a good quote? What I like about it balances two things. On the one hand, some of you may be really, really good about what you like and what your gladness is and what you're passionate about, right? We typically go to what's your passion, what are you good at life, and what are you good in, you know, whether it be at work or in school, what are you good at? What do you want to get out of life? That's your deep gladness. It's God-given. Something you ought to explore. But there's another question we ought to be asking. What are the needs of the world? What are the deep, overwhelming needs sometimes of the world, right? And how do they come together? Because God has not given you gifts and talents and abilities just to use for yourself, just to be an island unto yourself. Now, God's given you abilities and talents to impact the world, to solve issues, solve problems, to serve people and encourage people. So where do those two meet? That's, in my mind, often where God's will is found. Those two pieces come together. Think about it. When you come to your life, all of our living, all of our loving, all of our relationships, all of our battles, all of our successes, all of our choices, all of our adventures, all of our hopes are in this one life. And when we begin to ask the question, God, what do you want for my life? God broadens that picture. And we start asking the question, what does the world need? What are the needs of the world? It all of a sudden opens up a whole new picture to you of what you could be doing with your one and only life. So I share that with you, realizing that's a huge question, right? Even just the question of what is God's will for my life. That may be overwhelming for you today. That just may be so big. Or even this idea of, you know, where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger, where they meet. That may just be a really big question. Like, you have to spend some time reflecting on that for a period of time. And so when we ask this question, what do I want the contribution of my life to be? I say this, not original with me, but a long journey starts with one step, right? So let's break it down. If I just were to challenge you to say, well, be more like Christ today and let's pray. That may just seem huge. I mean, to be more like Christ is like going from a 1 to a 10 on a scale of 10, right? Like, how am I going to get there? That seems such a big leap to be more like Christ, because I'm not even close, Rob. I know I feel that way oftentimes. It just seems like a huge gulf between the two. So let's break it down. So I just want to give you some ideas, but this is something to ask between you, again, a good friend, ask of God, what do you want the contribution of life to be? So let's break it down. Let's start with, you know, your deep gladness or just things that you want to improve in your life, right? So as opposed to asking the question, how can I become more like Christ? Let's break that down a little bit in more practical, one step at a time questions. First of all, ask this question. When you compare last year to this year, maybe a question you can ask is, am I becoming more loving? Would people around me say I'm a more loving person now than I was last year? Or another question, would people around me say that I'm more compassionate now than I was a year ago? Both of those would be great things, because that's becoming more like Christ. Christ was loving. Christ was compassionate. Are you more approachable? Are you more patient with people? Do you have more joy in your life? Like, not happiness that just is based on circumstance, but true joy that goes deep. Do you have more joy this year than you did last year? See, all these traits are things that Christ had. So maybe those are the questions you need to ask, you know? Maybe you need to ask the question, am I trying to appear spiritual or actually be spiritual? You know, maybe you think, okay, I got to be more like Christ. So you start praying in King James language. And I'm like, don't do that. No one speaks like that, you know? So don't do that in your prayers. There's no need to. Don't try to appear spiritual. Be spiritual. Right? So ask questions of yourself in that way. Maybe that's a little bit more of a doable thing. In fact, I'll give you some very practical things for myself. You know, some things I'm trying to work on. Number one, this may sound silly and not very inconsequential, but it's important to me. So one of the things this year I'm really going to try to work on is being on time for all of my meetings. I tend to be, it's not because I'm a procrastinator or slow, I tend to put too much in. I try to pack too much in, and I don't always manage my time well, and so I'll go to one meeting, and it goes a little over. For whatever reason, I'm not disciplined, and that leads into the next meeting, and then I'll go a little over on that meeting, and by the end of the day, I'm so late to my fifth or sixth meeting. You know, it's not good. It doesn't honor the people's time that I'm supposed to meet with, and so I know I've got to work on that. And one of the things I've got to improve on is I got to say no more, and that's hard for me. All these opportunities that come, you have to say no, right? You have to say yes to the right things and no to the things that are not right, even if they're good things. So those are some of the things that I'm working on. You know, another thing I'm really trying to work on, I don't know if you have the same experience, but when I'm meeting with people, I really want to work on being fully present. You know, I think, at least for me and maybe you too, we live in a world that we're constantly distracted. And sometimes it's really hard to really focus in on people and really listen what's going on to them and hear what's going on in their life because you're thinking about the next thing or the next meeting or the next accomplishment, the next goal, and you're not fully present with them. You still got something in the back of your mind you're thinking about. And one of the things I really want to work on is try to be fully present to kind of put my issues aside and really listen what's going on in your life. I want to hear. I want to be fully present for you. I think that's something that Christ does and would do. So maybe that could be one of yours as well. And here's one last thing, just a thought. You know, this may sound goofy, but you ever catch yourself, you know, when you're killing time or you're just kind of bored, you don't really want to do anything productive, you go through and you start going through Facebook posts or Instagram pictures, you just start scrolling. I may be the only one that does that, but you just start scrolling and seeing all these things. And one of the things I truly want to challenge myself in, and I challenge you, is as opposed to just scrolling and kind of being a voyeur and just see all these crazy things people are doing, and you're eating that again? Oh, awesome. Thanks for sharing that. What I want to do is I want to pray for people. If you do have a capture, a little picture of their life, whatever's going on, stop as opposed to scrolling and just say, I want to pray for that person right now. Wouldn't that be a cool use of your time rather than just scrolling through Facebook just for no reason, but really have a purpose to it? That's the cool thing about Facebook. You can connect with high school friends, right, and college friends, and who knows, people that you went to elementary school with. Pray for them. Ask God to come into their life or whatever's going on in their life, you know, use it as a tool to bring encouragement, bring hope, maybe send them a message of encouragement, whatever it is. But that's another goal for me, and so that could be a goal for you. Anyway, I'm just breaking it down to really simple things. The last thing I'll say is this. I know when it comes to the world, and you saw all those pictures of the migrant and refugee crisis, right, and ISIS and all these things. Here's my challenge. As opposed to either, number one, retreating because it's just overwhelming. You don't know what to do. There's so many needs of the world, Rob. I have no idea where to begin. Don't retreat or give up. Instead, just break it down into something that's doable. So, a challenge for you, maybe this year, to make a fresh start, how would your contribution be different and bigger? Is just start with a neighbor. Start with someone who's, you know, lives in your same dorm room. Or you live in a neighborhood, go get to know your neighbor. You know, we live in a culture where we drive up, we get our garage door up, we drive our car in, we put our garage door down, and we never talk to our neighbors again. Let's break that cycle. Just go to your neighbor and just get to know them. Maybe offer to shovel their driveway or something. Or if you're into cookies, my wife's really good about making cookies. She'll make cookies and give them to the neighbors, you know. Whatever it is for you, but get to know your neighbor. That makes it very practical. So therefore, you don't feel like the world's so big. I have no idea what to do. Well, your world includes your neighbor. And you may find a world of issues that you can just be a friend to. And someone who listens to them. Maybe no one else is reaching out to your neighbor. I don't know what it is. But make it very practical and something that's doable. It's one step at a time. Right? So we started today asking, what can we do to make a fresh start this year? The three key questions to remind you again. What am I focusing on? Starts with the mind. Number two, what is keeping me from moving forward in my life? Ask someone who loves you and ask God that question. And finally, what do I want the contribution of my life to be? What do you want your mark on the world to be this year in 2016? So may we, as a community, May we be reminded of this cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, the hall of fame and faith in, from chapter 11 of Hebrews. And may we, inspired by their example, strip off everything that hinders us and keeps us from running the race that God has marked out for us. May we fix our eyes and turn away towards the goal of Jesus and keep our lives God-centered and God-directed. May we live lives like that. And if we do, I believe God has bigger plans in store for you. And yes, your contribution for your life will make a difference. And ultimately, you'll be fulfilled. May it be for all of us today. In Jesus' name, let's pray. God, thank you so much for today and an opportunity to review 2015. And now as we look into 2016, we're at the beginning of a brand new, fresh year. This is the time to look at life and maybe have a fresh start. God, I pray for myself and all of us who have gathered here. God, give us the courage to ask those questions today. And not only that, but give us the faith and the strength and the ability to act on whatever we get, whether it be responses we get back from our loved ones, our spouse, our friends, when it comes to those things that are hindering us, the things that we focus our mind on. And then when it comes to the contribution of our life, God, no one in here wants to waste their life. They want their life to count. God, you put that in us. And so may we be people who live lives well beyond just what we're focused on, but would you enlarge our vision to what you have in this world? Remind us, God, there are a lot of needs in this world. We may not be able to meet all of them, but you have created us to match the deep gladness that you've built into our hearts and our souls and our abilities to match some of the deepest hungers of this world. Help us to find what that is for each one of us, and may we live it out with confidence and joy, and in a sense of adventure. Help us, God, to make a fresh start this year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can stand. A lot of questions to ask, right? Thank you so much for being here. I want to say this. There is a prayer team that's going to be available. If you just need someone to pray with you or for you, please come forward. I'll be up here as well. I'll be more than happy to pray for you. But for all of us, again, this is the time to make a fresh start. We can do this together. So may this be the day you start a fresh start in your life. Have a wonderful weekend, a good week. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for coming.